Our scripture reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat, what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they are? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, and they do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you, that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so chooses, clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
I want to thank Brother Andy for that Bible reading, and I will apologize before I begin. I'm probably going to cough a time or two up this morning. That's why I'm not wearing the head mic, so it doesn't get fully in the speaker, so I will turn my head as best I can. But I do appreciate your attendance here this morning to come and hear a portion from God's Word. And as I continue with my review of the Sermon on the Mount, we've skipped ahead a little bit here to these verses that Gary read for us here. And really, when you think about this, this message was probably being delivered to people that in that day that were very concerned about accumulating wealth, accumulating possessions. And I don't think people today are still any different than they were back then, if anything, more so, just because we have more ability to understand what there is out to gather and so forth. And just our society is one of that type of go big or go home, that type of a thought. And so in the verses preceding these that Gary read for us, Jesus had just talked about not accumulating treasure on earth and to store up treasure for yourself in heaven, because the treasures here on earth will fade away. They are not meant to be permanent, but the treasures that we attain in heaven will never be taken away from us. And so right after talking about don't build up wealth for yourself, Jesus then transitions to this passage where he's then talking about, you probably are thinking to yourself, if we're not supposed to accumulate wealth, how am I going to support myself from day to day? Those concerns would naturally, I think, pop into the head of anyone there listening that day. So if I'm not storing up treasure for myself here on earth, but instead storing up for the next life after this one, then what's going to happen to me here on earth? How am I going to be able to survive? And Jesus really makes it clear that the reason why people have worry in their lives is because they're not fully putting their trust in the Lord that he will take care of us. And so this anxiety and this worry is based upon not having that faith in the Lord to do so. Basically, when someone worries, and even, especially if you look at it in the world with all the worry and the anxiety and the suicide, and so there are people that obviously have not taken this into account, that the Lord is not going to take care of them. But it impacts us here inside the church. I've always said my mother wasn't happy unless she was worrying about something. So this is a lesson that isn't so easy for us to grasp. Worry and anxiety can be crushing at times. And the Lord is saying that when you have that worry, when you have the anxiety, instead of trying to plug in the gaps or fill the holes for ourselves, we should turn to the Lord. And if you do, you are saying, I believe that he believes in me. I believe that he cares for me. And I believe that he's going to take care of me. So, but like I said, so many times people think we need to take matters into our own hands. And obviously, even if the Lord does a, you know, comes up with a solution, it would involve us acting out upon that. But it's not something that we have to fully put on ourselves. That's what prayer is for. We can ask for that help. And so, but going back to what people are probably thinking, well, I have to do something. So what am I going to do? And so there have been a lot of people down through times that have come up with different ideas on how we can care for ourselves, how we can provide for ourselves, how we can alleviate worry in our lives. There's so many self-help books out there that can be found, but really the self-help book that is going to help us the most is the one that most people don't turn to, and that of course is the Word. And so accumulating possessions and basically serving money in our lives is not going to solve our worry problems. You hear the phrase, mo money, mo problems. Well, money doesn't necessarily solve things. Money oftentimes makes things more difficult. I think we've all tried this, thinking, well, if we get a better paying job, or if I do this or do that, well, then I won't have to worry so much. There's always something out there in this life to cause us anxiety or cause us to worry. And so, but in this particular context, going back, he's talking about not worrying about physical things, like taking care of yourself with the food or your shelter. He talks about the clothes that we wear. He's letting us know that in that context, we can find that help, because life is far more than just accumulating and the accumulation of stuff. Mike, I think years ago you did a sermon on stuff. Well, that's the accumulation of stuff is what most people here in this world and all through time has focused on. But Jesus says that life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. Therefore, he says we shouldn't worry about it. We have to look at ourselves and say, are we not truly worrying about that? There have been times in my life where I remember in the late 2000s when Shelly and I both were unemployed. I told Mike one time, I said, I like bologna, but I'm tired of eating it every day. But I always had something. If I needed to go to the store, Chris and Debbie would make their van available to me. And I would have a way to, that was the Lord helping us, making sure that we had those things. And so we have to look at this and say, can we trust God who gave us life to provide these things for us? The whole temptation when Satan tempts Jesus about turning the rocks into bread, Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone. We do not live on life on food alone, but we depend upon the Lord for that life and the breath in our body. And the second thing that Jesus mentions about how we shouldn't worry is he gives us some illustrations. He starts with talking about the birds in the air. Do birds worry? I don't know, the birds on my bird feeder look to be, well, they look scared a lot of times. The slightest little noise will cause them to flutter away. So maybe in that sense they're worrying, but they're not worrying when they found my bird feeder and they're eating from it. And the question is, do birds store up treasures in barns and houses? Well, I watched a video this week about blue jays. Blue jays will take whole peanuts and they'll store them away for the winter. So, but I don't know if I'd call that storing up treasure. That's storing up sustenance for a long winter. That's just, you know, that's the instinct that God has put in these animals to be able to do that. But they are not accumulating just for the sake of accumulating. So they can say to the next blue jay, I've got 72 peanuts. You've only got 41. That's not what's going to happen there. And so if our Heavenly Father takes care of these blue jays and these other birds, Well, then, how much more is he going to take care of us? And are we more valuable than birds? Yes. I hope we all think that we are. I love my birds. I love watching my feeder. But I'm taking, you know, the life of me and Shelley and so forth over the life of them, you know, every time. And so God is just showing, or Jesus is showing, that God will take care of those that he has created, and that includes us. And it is up to us to develop faith in him that he will care for us. And if you believe that God is your heavenly Father, then that should be a part of your worry that's taken away. You should be able to depend upon him. I'm not a parent, but I have to imagine that those of you who are parents, Garrett's here this morning. Garrett, I doubt your parents let you starve too often. They provided for you, didn't they? If a parent will provide for you and give you the things that you need, how much more so then will our Heavenly Father provide for us when he knows what it is that we need? And so he will care for us and will give us reasons to not have to worry about things. And so Jesus then talks about the reason why we shouldn't worry is that it doesn't do a bit of good. Nothing is going to be accomplished by sitting and worrying. So how, Bob, did you get that problem fixed out we need for that meeting? No, but I sat and I worried about it. That's the best I could do. I worried about it. That's not going to get your presentation built or your thesis or whatever it is you're working on in your life. Just sitting and worrying is not going to accomplish anything. And Jesus asked if you can add a single hour to your life by worrying about something. And of course, the answer is no. Even when you do have a legitimate problem, worry's not going to help it be solved. And so it can't solve the past, and it's not going to change the future. But in our context, Jesus' message is, you know, most people, I think, when they worry, I think a lot of the worry in this world today, especially in this economy, is about money, but there's many other things in our lives that we can worry about. And in verse 25, it says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, or your body, or how it's clothed, or, you know, worry about those types of things are not going to do anything about solving it. And then the fourth thing that he mentions here that we're given is the knowledge that God will take care of us. And now he talked about the birds of the air being able to be fed. Well, he then transitions to, well, Brenda, you're a plant person. I'm sure you've seen some very pretty plants, and we've all seen. I know when John has gone on trips with us, it seems like a good portion of his photos are just photos of plants and different things. There's a lot of things in this world that are beautiful based upon how they've grown and how they've bloomed and so forth. And Jesus says, if these things, these plants, these flowers, whatever the case may be, if they are given what they need to be presentable, we can too. Just like the birds that don't sow or reap but are able to eat, so are the flowers. They're not able to do anything about what they look like, but are very pleasing to look at. So if God does this for the grass, it says it's here today and tomorrow it's thrown in the fire, how much more is he going to take care of us in that area when hopefully we're here tomorrow and beyond? And so Jesus is asking, do we believe that God will take care of us? Jumping ahead just for a moment at the end of verse 30, he says, oh, you of little faith. That's the key. That's really the crux about this, is worrying about these things is showing a lack of faith in God. And it's hard for us to say, well, how is he going to make that Big Mac show up on my plate today? Well, it may not be miraculous, but he's put things in order in your life that you can do so. That's one way you can look at it. But we're told here that that's done through faith, trusting and believing that he will provide that for us. And so if we agonize and strive over that, is showing our lack of confidence in the Lord. And so if we go to verses 31 and 32, Jesus goes on by saying that we shouldn't worry about our earthly possessions, because those are the things that the world seeks after and worries about. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has declared that his people will think and act differently than those that are not part of his kingdom. And so and it's a portion that I chose not to focus on, but when he's talking about the light of the world and the salt of the earth, he says when they lose their saltiness, they lose their impact on those around them in the world. And at that point in time, they're not good for anything. And when we're worrying about things like money and clothing and food and so forth, well, then it's taking our attention away from other things we can be doing. We could be showing people our faith in the Lord, that he will provide for us. And people will be able to see that we aren't like everyone else in the world, consumed by worry. And so when we worry, we're not separating ourselves. We're not showing any example to others that we truly are a separate and a unique people. And Jesus goes on to say that God does know what we need. He understands that we need these things, and he is not oblivious to that, and he's going to make it so we are able to be helped. And God is able to see the circumstances in our life. He's going to realize that each and every one of us is unique in their own way and call for different solutions. And once again, we have to have faith that the Lord can and will do that. God knows what it is that we need, and we're to live our life depending upon him to provide that. And that's it's an everyday test of our faith. And so we have to turn that over to him, because God knows what I need for tomorrow, so I don't need to worry about tomorrow. And as he's getting close to the end of this thought, he then says, we need to not worry, because there's other things we do need to worry about, that we need to be focused upon. And that's a higher goal. Going back to him saying we need to store up treasures for us in heaven, he's saying we need to seek first the kingdom of God. And if we're seeking first accumulating of wealth or things, then that's going to take our eye off of that target. And this is where our energies need to be expended. It's where our attention needs to be, and focusing on how we can store up treasures for ourselves in heaven. And so it's God alone who deserves all of our attention, all of our concern, instead of the things of this earth. And so we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God above all else? And if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about we have to submit our will to God's will. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5 and 6 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. And so seeking the kingdom of God means taking our every thought and molding it into the shape of what we know the Lord wants from us, expects from us. And it means that we have to take our thought, should be devoted towards being a faithful servant and obeying Christ and the Lord. Whatever stands against God in our hearts, we are to actively go to war against. It's something that we have to identify ourselves, and we have to be aware of that, and we have to take steps to purge that from us. I'm going to talk about later this morning about cleansing our lives of impurities and things that are dishonorable. And that's what's being talked about here. We need to be able to look at what we have in our lives that need to be battled against. And then second, Jesus not only says to seek the kingdom of God first, but also to seek his righteousness. We're supposed to live faithful lives that are looking for righteousness, that are looking at our lives and look at ways that we can live more righteously. And it will show others around us that we're living a completely different way of life. And you'll need to say that I will not be pursuing worldly things, but focusing on storing up treasures for us in heaven. I don't care about the things of the world, but I care about what God expects from me. And so we have to just look at everything through that prism and filter out the cares of this world and make our decisions focused on pleasing God. And if we look at the result in verse 33 of what this kind of living will do, it says, all these things will be added unto you. What we will wear, what we will eat, what we will be drink, that'll be provided to us. It'll be added to us. If we pursue God first and foremost, God says that the rest will be given and taken care of for us. And so we wouldn't be surprised by this instruction, and we should have that understanding that the Lord is going to be there for us. And we do see a very similar command given to the children of Israel in the Old Testament. The people were instructed to pursue God and pursue righteousness. And when they did, God promised them that he would take care of them. They would not have to worry about food or famine. They wouldn't have to worry about wars or nations attacking them. They have no need to fear or worry if they stay faithful to the Lord. But as we know, and as Mike is going to be bringing to a closer very shortly, the book of Isaiah, we know that's not how it ended up. They had lost their trust and their faith and devotion to the Lord, and they lost all of that. Instead of all that promise of nothing for you to worry about, that was taken away. And he will make this, if we make the same mistake that Israel made and we don't focus on the Lord and we don't realize that his promises extend to us, well, then we will also fall into that. And we can counteract that by just continuing to seek him and his righteousness. And the last thing that he talks about here that we can work on in our lives about lacking worry, he's found here in verse 34. Jesus says, don't be anxious about tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to have its own problems. I mean, he doesn't sugarcoat it here, does it? Tomorrow's got enough problems. You'll worry about that tomorrow. Let's focus on today. You've got problems today that need to be dealt with. You have what you need for today. Tomorrow we'll worry about tomorrow. You can't fix tomorrow, but you can maybe change tomorrow by focusing on today, perhaps. God is who is in control of tomorrow. In Ecclesiastes, it tells us that sometimes life will just be the same tomorrow as it was today, but tomorrow may be a day of much of great change in our lives, and we have to be ready to have our faith set so that when it does come up, we can focus on the Lord and he can provide for us. And so put your hope and our trust in God today for whatever comes to us next. And so in closing, just the love, our love for the Lord and the love that we know he has for us is a two-way street. If we trust in him to provide things for us, well, that faith will allow him then to provide for us as well. Brother Jose has the prayer, and after that prayer, we will have a short break, and then our class will begin.